Well, it's neat to see how the Lord just brings everything together, the songs and so many other aspects of the morning. And really this theme of the Lord reigns. And, you know, when he comes to reign, Psalm 67, the nations will be glad. You know, we long for a righteous king. We long for right. There's something in us that we know things aren't quite what they ought to be. And we sometimes try to figure out what's going to solve that. It's not a what, it's a who. And he's going to come back and he's going to right the wrongs. And he's going to fix this world. And we've got a part in that. Well, I'm going to try to pick up where I left off last night. And we'll see how this works here. And so some of you may recognize this slide from last night. And in some ways, what I'm doing, in my role now, we spent 15 years as a family in the Philippines and then additional ministry as well. But in some ways, what I'm doing now is almost like I am an ambassador on behalf of the nations and really urging God's people to lift up our eyes and look on the fields and realize they are white already to harvest. There are needs and opportunities all around us. And the way God has structured it is we are the ones that get to be his hands and his feet, serving him in these different ways. And I mentioned yesterday how, you know, the Lord is bringing, I want to show a little bit of this and kind of get us all on the same page here, and then we're going to just keep moving here. But I mentioned last night how God is shifting the world's population. Like there is, it's not just in America, there are immigration issues. This is a worldwide phenomenon. This is what God is doing around the world. And we really want to reach out to these nations in love. Let me start here. Last night I mentioned this. Some of you were there last night at the pizza party. I mentioned to you that Middlesex County, New Jersey, so this is not very far from here. And we think of the world as way out there, but I mentioned last night that if when you go to fill out your voter forms in Middlesex County, New Jersey, you can actually choose from different languages. We would expect English and Spanish, I think, but Gujarati? Anybody here speak Gujarati? Just if we have closet Gujarati in here somewhere, okay. This is a section from West. These people come from West India. There are so many of them in Middlesex County, New Jersey, that they actually you can get your voter registration form in that language. Hindi, Punjab. Punjab is a language spoken in Pakistan and northern India. There are enough Punjabis in Middlesex County, New Jersey, that they felt the need to put registration forms in that language. And really what we want to do is embrace what's happening, whatever the causes, you know, whatever, but embrace this as our opportunity and as God's providential working. Acts 17, I mentioned this to us last night. This is Paul, what he's saying to the men at Athens who really felt themselves better than everybody else in the human race. And he reminds them, okay, listen, we all came from one. We're really just one race, different ethnic groups, one race. But he goes on to say this, that what God has done is he's made all, you know, from this one race, he's made everybody to dwell on the face of the earth. And in addition to that, he's determined the times and the bounds of where they live. And I summarize that as the when and the where. And God has done that so that they would seek him. The jostling of the nations, the people movements, this is not random. We want to see our God, our King, who reigns over the peoples, was mentioned. And our God who reigns, and He loves, and His love spills out of His nature. There's so much of it, it spills out. And out of His love, He is moving peoples in order to facilitate their search for Him. And He's putting Punjabis and Gujaratis and Hindis in Middlesex County, New Jersey. And part of this is they may actually find a Christian. Or if you're living in the Gujarati area in West India, what chance do you have of ever meeting a Christian? You'll live and die. You won't even know where to find a Bible if you wanted one. But now they have a chance to actually to report to the same office, to shop in the same grocery store, to use the same YMCA, and they're there. This is God facilitating the when and the where of people's existence to facilitate their search for Him. And I mentioned last night this verse from Jonah, and this remote doesn't like me. But I mentioned this verse last night that Jonah, you know, the Lord has really administered Jonah to me a while back when I realized the real reason that Jonah did not go to Nineveh. You may have heard, I've heard, you know, well, the Assyrians, the Ninevites, the Assyrians, they would skin people alive. You know, they were violent, they were mean, and that's true. I mean, that's all true. You can see depictions of what they would do to people. But, you know, Jonah tells us why he did not want to go to Nineveh. And he tells us in this verse here, this is why I fled to Tarshish. This is why I went the opposite direction. Because I knew what kind of a God you were. And I knew that the Assyrians, whom we hate and who hate us, who have hurt us and will hurt us, that I knew that those people, if they repented, you would have mercy on them, and I didn't want that. That's why I didn't go. We might today use the word prejudiced. And we might feel that way about Muslims. When I think of Muslims, I think of 9/11. And memories of those twin, I mean, it's one of those things where you remember where you were. And that was Muslims. And the Lord used a trip to Bangladesh, which is a majority Muslim country, went into Bangladesh, began meeting Muslims. It was a guy that actually prayed with me to receive Christ there. But I began to realize, you know, there are Muslims that are, they're just cultural Muslims. They don't really know what they, in fact, I had one guy, he told me privately, that not in a group, but when he got, he said, I have a lot of questions about my religion. Wanted to talk. And I realized God loves the Muslims of the world. He loves them more than I do. And it's like Jonah. He didn't love the Assyrians, but God did. That's why God sent Jonah. God's love for Nineveh was greater than Jonah's. And so He sends Jonah to hopefully be a reflection of His love. And instead, there's this grumpy prophet. And I'd like to think that Jonah repented. That's why we have the book of Jonah. God straightened that guy out. But this is the kind of heart we need to have for the nations. And what God is doing, again, if you could help me back there, what God is doing in the world, I showed this last night. We need missionaries for Africa. There was a missionary that died of malaria only 4 months after going to Africa as a missionary. This is in the quite a while ago, but one of his statements he made at some point in his ministry was, "Let 1,000 fall before Africa be given up." And I showed this picture last night because this is showing where the world is growing. There are parts of the world where the populations are shrinking. The pinker or redder it is, that's where the population is shrinking the most. Where it's green, it's where it's growing the most. And this is showing where average births per woman by country. And obviously, if you have an average of less than two, you're not even reproducing yourself as a people. And at least a couple years ago, South Korea was the lowest in the world, 0.72. Canada is 1.3, America is 1.6. This is an issue in Europe. You can see one of the countries here in Europe is a pink. You know, some of the countries in Europe, they don't like all the immigrants coming in, but there's not enough people to work. So here come the immigrants. I mentioned last night, you could go to, there are more Turkish people in Germany than any other country except for Turkey. It's very, very hard to be a missionary in Turkey, but you could go to Germany and you could reach Turkish people. This is what God is doing. And you look at the green there of Africa, and I just think, okay, these are, you know, they're saying by 2050, these are where some of the biggest cities are going to be. And a lot of these are French-speaking countries. There are some that would say that French-speaking, the French-speaking population may someday rival the Spanish-speaking population in our world. So study Spanish, study French, get on Duolingo or whatever. You know, learn. You someday there may be as many French speakers as Spanish, and a lot of them are from Africa. We need missionaries for Africa. That's what something like this tells me. Lord, raise up laborers. That's where the people are. Let's go reach them. I told the story last night of the Gedeo tribe in Ethiopia, the man that was crying out for knowledge of Magano. 8 years he prayed. Magano, that's their name for the Creator God. Oh, Magano, show yourself to me. God sends two men. And they set up under a big tree outside of his village. And he watches these men. And they begin to preach the gospel. And he realizes this Magano, the Creator God, sent these men to me. And he's one of the first converts. And this is how God works. And I want to talk about this a little bit and then kind of go from there. I talked about this last night, the Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him? And you got this passage in Romans, the they. This is a beautiful chapter in Romans 10. You've got the gospel, really, you know, the Romans road. Paul has walked us through. All have sinned. We've all fallen short. But God so loved us that Christ, he sent his son, and Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still rebels. Christ died for us in our place, so that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord is eternal life. And Paul brings that to a climax in Romans 10 when he says, okay, put all that together. You have people that sought after righteousness and they tried it by works, and that didn't work because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everybody who believes. And he goes on to say this, so if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be delivered, eternally delivered from infinite wrath because of our innate sinful behavior and nature. Then it's just a couple verses later that he brings up this they. That whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I mean, whoever, it doesn't matter what your background is or what language you speak or where you live. Whoever will call, he will save you. But here's the issue. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You call because you believe. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How will you believe if you haven't heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And I mentioned last night this word preacher, this is not the word for pastor. Maybe in colloquial English, messenger. A certified messenger, an authorized messenger, a herald. This is not just a pastor. This is somebody who has a message that they've been given to deliver to other people. How will they hear unless there's a preacher, a herald, a messenger, somebody who is sent? And that's the next. In Romans 10, 15, and this is a different they. So the they in Romans 10, 14, they're going to be reached by these. How shall they preach except they be sent? And then what I love is the last part of this verse. Now just think of the logic of this. Paul is actually drawing this from Old Testament passages. There's a place in Isaiah, a place in Nahum. But he's quoting this, the assumption is that the feet are going because they have been sent. That's why they're preaching the gospel of peace and bringing glad tidings, because they've been sent. The question is, it's not that God is not sending. They're being sent so that they can preach, so people can hear, and they can believe, and they can call, and they can be saved. This is what God is doing. He's sending. And this is missions. The word missions, missionary, comes from Latin, the idea of sent, a sent one, somebody who's being sent. You're sent on a mission. It's a mission. You're sent. God is sending. And he's sending you and me. And if we keep going here, here's how it works. God sends. A preacher preaches, people hear, people believe, people call, and God saves those who call. And really, in many ways, this, sorry for my struggle with the remote here. We wonder about those who have never heard. This issue comes up, and it's a good question. What about those who've never heard? And there's actually a couple answers to this that I normally give. The first answer, it's being technical and being, semantics. But there is a sense in which technically all have heard certain levels of revelation of God. The witness of the Bible is that all men have come across a basic knowledge of God through creation, for example. But what Romans 1 tells us is that the knowledge of God they have pushed it away for unrighteous reasons. That really the story of humanity is not a story of, God's revealed himself, so I'm going to embrace him. The story of humanity is we push that light away. And think about in your own life, in my life, think about the many times we've pushed away what we knew to be true, and for unrighteous reasons, we pushed it away. But the second answer to this question, what about those who've never heard? What about that? What's the answer to that? And the second answer to that is what we have here, that when you have people who do follow the light that they've been given, like the guy I talked to in Bangladesh, he was from the tribes, from these Buddhist tribes. And I said to him, so how did you become a Christian? I mean, your tribal people, they're all Buddhists. He said, one day, I walked out of my house, it was night, I looked up at the skies, and I thought to myself, there's got to be a God who created all this. Okay, Buddhists don't really believe in a personal God. And he walks out and he looks and he goes, there's got to be a God. There's, somebody put this together. And he said it was a little while later that a missionary came to my village and preached the gospel and I got saved. And what God does is this, to those who follow the light that they have, the pattern that you see is He gives them more light. And I want to show this to you from the book of Acts. And you've got three very clear examples in the book of Acts. And the first of these is in Acts chapter 8. And it's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And you may be familiar with this story. And I was marveling even this morning as I was looking back, last night or this morning, I think it was this morning, looking back through this passage again, just getting ready. And I kind of marveled at the goodness of God. If I can put it this way, the amount of effort God takes or God makes in order to bring more light to those who are following the light that they have. And I say that because you've got this guy, Philip, in Acts chapter 8, and he's already been in Samaria. He's the one man in the New Testament called an evangelist. And verse 26, an angel of the Lord, here's the goodness of God. An angel comes and speaks to Philip and says, I want you to go to a certain place. You can see in verse 26. So he goes. Okay, he's sent. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official, verse 27, of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He is a worshiper of God, but he's not saved. He's not been delivered eternally from his sins, but he's a worshiper of God. And he was returning, verse 28, and sitting in his chariot was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. So you've got an angel, then you've got the Holy Spirit. This is what God is doing. And this man is reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip ran up, verse 30, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And he's reading Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered, verse 34, and Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? And you wonder, you want the backstory behind this guy. Someday we're going to get it. Why did this guy from Ethiopia, this high up official, how did he even start going to Jerusalem? Where did that come from? What shifted him from the gods of his peoples to worshiping the God that is in Jerusalem? And how did he get a copy of Isaiah? This would have been handwritten. How did he get this? And he's reading it. You can see here's a man who's following the light he has. And as he follows the light he has, God is giving him more light. And it's a person. It's a messenger. It's a Philip. And verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning from this scripture, you start where the person is, right? I love this. You start where they are. He preached Jesus to him, and the man believes in Jesus Christ. And he's saved. That's example number one. When somebody is following the light they have, the pattern is that God gives them more light. You have a second example. Number two, in Acts chapter 10. This isn't an Ethiopian. This is now a centurion who's of the Italian cohort. This could mean he was kind of from the local Caesarea area. It could mean that he was a European. Okay, some debate about that. But Acts chapter 10, he's a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gives many alms to the Jewish people. This is verse 2. And he prayed to God continually. And in fact, later when the men, because this man's going to sin, again, here comes an angel. I mean, here's God at work. And he comes to Cornelius, and they send off for Peter and so on. And then the Spirit, God has to work in Peter's heart. And verse 22, they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. This man is a righteous God-fearer. He gives alms and he prays, but he's not saved. And again, you wonder, how did he get to this point in his life? I mean, he's a centurion. He's a soldier. What is his backstory? How did a guy like this end up a God-fearer and righteous, and he gives money and he's loved by the Jews? He's not saved. But he's been following the light that he has. And what God does is he sends an angel and he sends a spirit. And Peter has to see this vision just so that he's convinced that he ought to go to this Gentile, this Cornelius. And Peter goes. And verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. And he goes on to preach Jesus. Verse 38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand, people who would know him by God, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who's been appointed by God as the judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And this guy Cornelius believes, and he is baptized. How does this happen? Again, here's a man who's following the light he has, and God sends him more light. In the person of Peter, it's a messenger. You've got one more in the book of Acts. This is Acts 16. This is really neat to me because Lydia, chapter 16, verse 14, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. Thyatira is a city in Asia, what we might call today Asia Minor, kind of the area of modern-day Turkey. Lydia is from Asia, and in verse 6 of chapter 16, that's where Paul was forbidden to go by the Holy Spirit. This is not really related to our theme here, but I mean, here's Paul looking for where to go on his second missionary journey, and he's thinking Asia. And God says, no, don't go to Asia. You can't go there. He tries to go, you know, no, you can't go there. You got to cross the Aegean Sea. You got to go across to Europe. And God leads him to Europe, and in what we call Europe, he meets a woman from Asia. This is God jostling the nations, moving people around. And verse 14, again, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. This Asian woman had become a monotheist. I've been in Asia Minor. I've been in Turkey. I've been in her city. Her city was not known for monotheism. These cities in Asia Minor, one of the things they would try to fight for was the privilege of having a temple to the emperor worship. This is a high privilege. We've got a temple where we worship the emperor. We think that's just crazy. Why would you worship a king? Somehow this lady, again, what's her backstory? But she's following the light that she's been given somehow in some way. We're going to hear this story. She's somehow following the light that she has. She ends up, she's a businesswoman. She sells purple. This is a color that was hard to make. Very expensive. And she ends up in Europe. What we would call Europe today. She ends up there. She's a monotheist, and she's by a river where people gather and pray to the one true creator God. She's a monotheist, but she's not saved. So what does God do? Well, she's followed the light she has in the pattern that we see is when you follow the light that you have, God gives you more light. And verse, again, 14, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. In every one of these passages, what you have is those messengers opened their mouths. And I love this. And I might have put this here on the slide, but I love this. This Acts 11 actually takes us back to Cornelius. This is where Peter is rehearsing what happened in Acts chapter 10. He's got people that he needs to report to about this because it just looks a little suspicious. And I love this verse 14. I've come back to this in my mind so many times. Last part of verse 13, send a Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here, and he will speak words to you by which you will be saved. Isn't that amazing? You can speak words and people will be saved. Remember the first man I led to Christ in the Philippines, I barely knew Tagalog. I would not even call myself a Tagalog speaker. And he wasn't even a Tagalog. He was an Ilocano. He's up way up north by the, almost on the edges of the sea there, the far north of the Philippines on this island. And I'm up there and he speaks Ilocano. And then there's a young lady there and she speaks Tagalog and English and Ilocano. And I speak English and just a tad of Tagalog. And this other guy speaks a lot of Ilocano and almost no English and a little bit of Tagalog. And I give him the gospel, and he gets saved. And a few years later, he's killed. It's kind of a messy story, but I think, wow, you know, here's this guy that he's now in heaven. But you know how that, you know, it, what it is, it's words by which people will be saved. Isn't that amazing? Like, isn't there a better way to do this? Isn't there something that has more power or more pizzazz or more... It's more performance-based, or it looks, you know, it's a little glitzier. I mean, it's just words. And we are the Philips, the Peters, and the Pauls who speak words by which people will be saved. That's amazing. I'm struck, Acts, you go down, we don't need to go there, but Acts 26, where God is, Paul is retelling his commissioning, his conversion and his commissioning. And he says that you know, Jesus said to him, you're my messenger. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And then here's the part. To open people's eyes. It's like he's saying to Paul, you go open people's eyes. And we would say theologically, we would say, wait, you know, we don't open people's eyes. That God does that, you know. I'm better in theology than that. And Jesus says, Paul, I've called you so that you will open people's eyes. Go open people's eyes. How do you open people's eyes? By opening our mouth. You speak words, which people will be saved. This is how God works. This is what God is doing through us. You know, all of us, it is in this sense that all of us are preachers. We are the ones being sent. The beautiful feet that are spreading the tidings of goodness, these are your feet. Did you think your feet were pretty? These are your feet. And I mentioned last night, our mission board has this tagline, "Where will you go?" And I love this, "Where will you go?" Because it assumes you're going somewhere. You're being sent somewhere. And you want to settle before God, am I where I ought to be? And if I'm where I ought to be, then what that means is I've been sent there. And there are people there. There are people there like Cornelius and like the Ethiopian eunuch and like Lydia. There are people there who have followed the light that they've had, and they're looking for something. They're looking for more light. And you are the messenger. You are the mouth to open their eyes. This is our duty before God. This is a Philippines jeepney. You've never lived until you've ridden in a jeepney. These are great. You get in the back and you're in there with, 18 people. And you have just a little room on the bench. And the driver not only drives, you're really fortunate you get to sit in the front. You get a little more room. But those are choice seats. The driver not only drives, but he also, the passengers pass the change up so that, you know, you're paying. You say buy it bulk and you pass your money up, and then he collects it and somehow makes change, and he's driving, and you saw pictures of our traffic, you know, last night, and so he's driving through traffic and he's making change and he's stopping and he's starting, he's picking up passengers and letting them off, and all of this. Let me tell you a story, and let's put us in the back of a jeepney. This is what it looks like when you get in the back, and see if I can get this to go here. Somebody can help me back. There you go. That's what it looks like. Welcome to a jeepney. And let me tell you a story that happened. This is one of my students, actually. I could take you to his LinkedIn page. But his name was Rolly Ara. And he was in a kind of a spiritist movement and was really kind of reaching the end of himself. And he got on a jeepney. This is how the vast majority of people in Manila, this is how they commute to work. He gets in a jeepney. And he's really struggling. And he gets on the jeepney. He prays. He says, "Lord, would you..." He says, "I don't know who you are, where you are." He says, "But would you send somebody? I don't know what to do. But I need help. I need you." And he says, by his own testimony, that the jeepney came to a stop and picked up a passenger. And this passenger happened to be one of the students at our Bible college in the Philippines. And he got on that jeepney and passed out a gospel tract to everybody on that jeepney. And Rolly Ara, who had just finished praying, he took that. He'd never seen one of these things before. He turns it over and he looks at the back, and it has the name of a church on there. Gospel Light Baptist Church. He's never heard of a Baptist church before in his life. He's like, "I'm going to go to that church." He goes to that church on Sunday. And somebody speaks words by which he was saved, and he got saved that day. And later he became a student at our college. He was not training for ministry. He's a foreman. He's a construction foreman. We had him do work in our house. But as a construction foreman, he wanted to know more of the Bible so that he could reach other people with the gospel. And among his workers, he holds Bible studies so that they will hear words by which they will be saved. And Rolly Ara is one of the Lord's workers. He's a foreman. He's a construction foreman, but he is one of the Lord's messengers. And I wonder, as we think about these things, would you be willing? You know, think again of this progression in Romans chapter 10. Think again of this progression of, you know, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. whoever. But how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Good point. Good question. And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, someone who will speak? How will they preach unless they are sent? They are being sent. You are being sent. And I wonder if you would join me in praying something like this. And maybe if you have a prayer journal or something like that, maybe putting this on your daily, top of your daily prayer journal. And every day say, Lord, send me to someone today in a disciple-making way. If you pray, do you think God would answer a prayer like this? When you think of the examples like the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius and Lydia and this guy from the Gadao tribe and Roli Ara. And this doesn't just happen overseas in far-off places. This happens right here in the States. I work with a colleague. He's one of our directors on our mission board. He was just getting started as a student at Clemson. He walks out of a bar on a Saturday night and he looks up at the sky and he says, I don't have a clue what life is about. And he's in his dorm, a new student at Clemson. He's in his dorm on a Monday. This is the Monday after that Saturday. And a guy knocks on his door and he begins to give him the gospel. And he shrugged the guy off like, I know all that. I go to church. I'm good. Leave me alone. And the guy said, well, you really need to have a Bible reason why you know for sure that your eternity is settled. And the door closed and the conversation was done, but the conviction just started. And my colleague never recovered from that comment until he bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. That guy who knocked on his door to this day has no idea what happened. But there was a guy in there who was looking for more light, and God sent him more light. There are people like that in your workplace. Are we going to be obedient and be and open our mouths? Take them out to lunch. Invite them for a lunch. You know, hey, let's get lunch. Let's get coffee. How are you doing? What kind of needs do you have? What anything God's doing in your heart? Try to start where they are and bring them to Christ. And maybe, you know, behind closed doors. I mean, you can live in $800,000 homes. You can live in $1 million homes. And behind all of that, you can be crying out to God and saying, God, I don't know where you are or who you are, but I need you. And God's answer to prayers like that is people. It's you. It's me. And how do you know? You might be God. You might be the answer to somebody's prayer. And let's pray, Lord, send me to someone today in a disciple-making way and watch God use you. And when that happens, when God sends you, guess what? You're a missionary. And you reach your circle, you know, you start, you know, God sends you and you open your mouth and you speak words by which people are saved and God uses you and your circle. And guess what? He may just enlarge that circle a little bit. And then, you know, that circle just gets a little bit larger. And, you know, before you know it, I mean, it's like, so before you know it, you're across the Aegean Sea, you're across the Pacific, you're across the Atlantic. You don't know what's God going to do. But it starts with right now. Lord, send me today to someone in a disciple-making way. Let's pray together.